Greetings, saints. Many blessings to you. Thank you for joining us today for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. And thank you, Father, for all that you do for your people. Thank you for giving us discernment, understanding, Lord. We praise you and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. And open our eyes and ears today, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, I'm going to continue with Three Gorges Dam, Birth of the Man-Child, number 2. And we're going to start off with the revelation that we got back in 625-20 from Garrett Crawford. And we called it, The Lord Induces Labor of the Man-Child. And this, too, is about the Three Gorges Dam. Garrett said, in this dream, I was walking up to a large coliseum. It was a large venue, and an event was going to happen inside. I remember I was quite early for the show, and they were not letting anyone in just yet. And as I was in front of the coliseum, I saw David Eales walking over to me. I could not believe that he was there, too. It was a pleasant surprise. We had a brief conversation, and as we were talking, we saw a group of protesters across the street making some commotion. The protesters, in a lot of cases, are factious type people, and in this case, I'm believing this is what this is talking about. They kind of caught my attention, but David told me not to pay them any mind. And I walked away from David and then walked back up near the Colosseum. I saw a man standing behind a table. He might have been passing out literature. I'm not really sure. But he had a lot of materials on his table that he was giving out. And although he doesn't really exist in real life in the dream, meaning he is not a physical individual person, but a representation of many pastors who hand out our materials, I knew who he was, and I was quite familiar with him. He was David's right-hand man and assistant pastor. Well, but he's talking about a corporate body here, so the pastoring in other parts of the world that's carrying on our works, which is happening. But he was very happy to see me, and I him. We talked for a while, and he had great news to tell me. He said that UBM has an orphanage or mission in Kazakhstan. And the surrounding country. This was a land that had been conquered by the Mongols, and but was later set free. The Mongols were a fierce and a vicious people who didn't regard life, you know, of others at all. And were factious against everybody, very much like the deep state and the religious faction, which have also conquered lands and peoples that are now being sent free. Okay, UBM does have orphanages and missions in other countries, and some pastors who hand out our materials in the midst of the peoples who are just like the vicious, factious people here. So we're believing that's what it's talking about. Well, God is doing mighty works, Garrett said, there. Or the man was telling him that. Meaning in these lands, right? He told me the man-child is about to be birthed, and they know the young girl in whom he is coming. Well, in type, we know what the man-child is going to be born of, and it's Jerusalem, like Esther and Shulamite, etc. And he went on to say, he went on to report to Garrett, she was a poor virgin girl in the church. Well, the woman in Revelation 12, who is among the factious peoples, the dragon was trying to devour the woman, right? Is a type and a shadow of this. And there, and she is with child, the man said. She was a poor virgin girl in the church there, and she is with child. He said, they have seen the sign that he was ready to be birthed. I said, but it's too soon. And he said, no, he is coming, and we have seen the sign. Well, let me say, back when this was given, it was physically too soon. But this revelation wasn't for that day, it was for this day. And we'll see that. And let me say, he's coming sooner than people think. We've been shown this time and time again. Matter of fact, one time I asked the Lord, couldn't he bring the man down a little sooner? You know, there's such a terrible need in the world, you know. And then we started getting revelation, even though I never told anybody of that. We started getting revelations of him coming sooner. So, sooner than people believe. And he will come early. Okay. As he was explaining to me in greater detail, I had a vision of the womb of the young girl, and I could see the fetus of the man-child. It was a supernatural fetus, translucent and luminous, like a glowing jellyfish. It was not a normal flesh and blood fetus, but a supernatural one. Well, that means, of course, the virgin birth is supernatural, right? It's planted by God. So this is a spiritual virgin birth implanted by God, because the things that have been are the things that shall be. In other words, this is a work of man here. It isn't a work of man's seed or the religions of the world's seed at all. It's a pure word of God that brings forth this child. And as he continued speaking, my vision continued. I saw a hand stick what appeared to be a hooked staff, like a tiny little shepherd's staff, inside the womb of the mother. Well, you know, David received the heart of a shepherd, defending the sheep from the lion and the bear, before he was birthed as the anointed man-child king. So David is a type of what we're talking about here. The man-child is alive today and is doing the work. He doesn't have that caught up to the throne anointing yet, but that's coming, and that's the thing that's going to make the difference. The staff was meant to induce labor. I saw the little staff scrape against the umbilical cord, and at that very moment, the little fetus made a quick reaction and assumed the position of a woman who was about to give birth. It was mimicking a woman in her labor position. So the little man-child was mimicking this, obviously to let people know this is about to happen, right? And her knees were up and her legs were open. And it reminded me when a drill sergeant gives a command to a disciplined soldier. He stands at attention immediately. This little fetus reacted just as fast to the command. I was very impressed with the little guy. He was so little, not even a full baby yet, but had an intelligence that was beyond his age. And when I saw this vision, I had trouble comprehending how such a small fetus was ready to be birthed. But labor was being induced, and he was coming out regardless. Okay. And Garrett went on to say, he said, I feel like we have to be prepared that the man-child will come sooner than we think, or what he has planned for us. Yes, a baby is born at 9 months, but this baby was only 5 or 6 months old. So that lets you know the man-child is coming earlier, which is what I've asked, and I bet a whole lot of other people out there are asking the same thing. You know, God answers prayers, believe it or not. We say, come, Lord Jesus, by your Spirit and Word, give your life to the man-child reformers who will pass it on to your true church. Amen? Amen. We need it badly. The church is dying out there because of apostate leadership. They don't know what their rights are. They're being destroyed. My people are being destroyed for lack of knowledge and understanding. You see, it's happening. It's happening. Ignorance and lack of trust in God as the Savior and healer and deliverer, you know, is costing people. Okay, this next one was given to Garrett just a few days after the one I just shared. And it's about dam collapse and flood. Sign of water breaking. Garrett Crawford, 7-1-20. Okay. This came just a few days after the revelation I just shared. And for the past few months, he said, I have been getting this recurring image in my mind of a dam breaking and a great flood ensuing. I often connected it to the water breaking in a woman before her child is born. I would find myself asking the Lord if we would see a physical sign of a dam breaking before the man-child is birthed. I have never gotten an answer. Well, I think he did get an answer, actually. But he said, I've never gotten an answer. Well, maybe today I got an answer, but only time will tell and be judge. Right? The dam image came to mind again today while I was out riding my scooter, and I was thinking, hey, we really need to be watching for a great big dam to break, maybe like the Three Gorges Dam in China. Well, nobody was thinking about it breaking back then, but or the Hoover Dam in the U.S. By the way, they're talking about doing away with the generation properties of the Hoover Dam at the very least, because they're going to come through with Tesla Free Energy. And something may possibly happen in the future, he says. As I got home, I thought about my dream concerning Kazakhstan and the surrounding region. I thought, I wonder if a dam will break in that area. Maybe that is the area where a dam will break one day. So I looked it up. And to my amazement, a large dam just broke and flooded the entire area between Kazakhstan and Uzbekistan on May the 5th. Wow. That was a sign. It wasn't the sign that he was first suspecting, but it was a sign that his revelation was true. I thought it could be, it could very well be the sign of the woman's water has broken, or will break, right? This smaller dam was a confirmation, this is my note that I put in there, a confirmation of the bigger dam breaking as it is now. And then there's a link here. Dam burst displaces over 70,000 in Kazakhstan and Uzbekistan. So he went on to say, what does a dam inside some Muslim country that nobody has ever heard of have to do with the birth of the man-child? Notice it's inside a Muslim country. Muslims are count themselves as enemies of Christians, and they're very factious against Christians. Doesn't matter if they live in their own land or not, okay? So, the birth of the man-child, again, this is my thinking, the birth of the man-child in the midst of the factious people who do not believe and fight against his coming, as it is now. The faction today is fighting against his coming, trying to, well, they took down our website, you know, they took down our videos. It didn't turn out to be a bad thing, it turned out to be a good thing, but they did that to try to stop it. And, of course, it was the demons in him. And he went on to say, I don't know, but I do know this. When the man-child Jesus was born, the sign was only seen by a few, while the whole of Israel, who were all awaiting the Messiah, missed the birth because they were waiting on something on a much grander scale. But I will say this, the much larger scale is what we will see today, because this man-child is a corporate body of people who will be in all of the earth. Many people have seen this man-child as a very large person, and that's because he is a corporate body. Only a few shepherds were given the sign from the angel that a child was born in a place of no significant importance. Well, percentage-wise, only a small portion of the true church will know this has happened in the beginning of the ministry of the man-child reformers, and it will become more known as the ministry continues to bring forth signs and wonders and miracles, and much attention is thrown on it, right? And it will be known throughout the world. Whether they are positive or negative about the man-child, that's beside the point. It's going to be known throughout the world. People can make their choice. They did it in the time of Jesus, and he was a sign of this, his coming again in a body that is called the Son of David. So, Garrett went on to say, I don't know why God showed me the young girl who was carrying the man-child who was in the area around Kazakhstan, but by faith, I included that in the retelling of the dream. I wanted to leave it out because it made no sense at all, but I think that it was part of the clue. And we see now that it was more important than ever, I first realized. Why? Well, because the things that have been are the things that shall be. There's going to be a fulfillment of the scenario of the virgin birth. And this is a virgin people of God that bring forth this man-child. It's a people who do not receive the seed of man's dead religions. It will bring forth this ministry, this man-child. It will come out of Zion, the Bible says, and the bride. Amen? So, now here's an update for the dam collapse and flood, sign of water breaking. Here's an update. Remember in the broadcast titled Delivered from Captivity Number 3, Garrett Crawford on 7-1-20 said, for the past few months, I have been getting this reoccurring image in my mind of a dam breaking and a great flood ensuing. I often connected it to the water breaking in a woman before her child is born. I would find myself asking the Lord if we would see a physical sign of a dam breaking before the man-child is birthed. Well, the dam image came to mind again today, meaning it wasn't over with the original smaller dam breaking, because now he got it again, you see. The Lord does that because people think, oh, this is the fulfillment of it. And then they get the same revelation that it's still coming. Okay. So the dam image came to mind again today while I was out riding my scooter. And I was thinking, hey, we really need to be watching for a great big dam to break. Maybe like the Three Gorges Dam in China or the Hoover Dam in the U.S. Something may possibly happen in the future. Yes, it is, and it is happening now. Some of my notes that I made, for instance, on 7-6-21, we saw that Garrett's first premonition that the Three Gorges Dam appears to be a great sign at the time of the water breaking for the birth of the man-child. Or it could be a sign just before the water birthing of the man-child, right? The whole Far East is flooding. Japan, India, China, by the way, Europe too, yeah. The dam itself is giving way, and the earth above it may landslide down upon it. 400 million people live downstream. And I've heard things about them evacuating quite a good many of those people. I don't really know to be whether it's true or not. But anyway, Missy sent this. Earthquake sparks fears of landslides above the Three Gorges Dam. This was Taiwan news on July the 6th, 2020. This story is all over the internet, how this dam is built on major fault lines. Well, let me say, a lot of rivers are made by fault lines. So the fact that they put a lot of dams on fault lines, it's because the river is there and you got to have a lot of water to run nuclear power plants, right? A lot of water, okay? So it was built on major fault lines, and the pressure of the water over against it is causing earthquakes. I was calling it birth pains. This largest of dams used to be straight, but is bending over its tremendous length as seen by satellite pictures. It's actually giving way across its expanse, right? And as it was in the building, Western experts were brought in to give their opinion of the design, who warned the Chinese that this would not work. The Chinese dismissed them as racist. It is positioned on top of the bedrock foundation instead of embedded in the rock, which would make it secure. So their objection was that they put it on top where the water pressure could move it instead of embedding it in the rock so the water couldn't move it. And it goes on to say the concrete is inferior, the steel is inferior. The Chinese first said it would last 10,000 years, and a year later changed their estimate to 1,000 years. And shortly after their estimate, it was 100 years. And now it appears it may not last a month with this serious flooding. Yes, it's got cracks all through it now. I saw one picture of the cracks sometime back. And water is, of course, you know, it cuts very good when it finds a way around a dam, you know, or a crack through a dam. And they, of course, say that it is safe, as they did with COVID-19, because communists generally lie, and especially to their enemies, you know, just like, Muslims do. They believe lying to their enemies is a wise thing to do. Anyway, we have had dreams and seen texts in the Bible that clearly point to the great earthquakes at the time of the coming of the man-child. And now we see that Garrett's first thoughts of this dam breaking could well be a sign of the water breaking to bring forth the man-child. As previous dreams on our site reveal, the head of the man-child will come out first, and later the body. In other words, there is a leadership to the man-child. Even the man-child Jesus had a leadership. It was his head, right? It was what the Lord spoke into him, right? The Father spoke into him. And another dream reveals this to be the tip of the spear coming. Okay? Also, in part 3, we saw the left is spreading COVID-19 in an attempt to destroy the world economy and bring Trump to disrepute. Sandy Shaw, 6:19 and 20. Okay, update from that. So on top of the left spreading COVID-19 through the world again, we find that they have a new plague in the works that is more deadly and works faster. And this is in agreement with what we have been saying is coming, or what the Lord told us was coming. that many will die of the coming plague. And we're still getting revelations like this. And I'll share them with you sooner or later here. But we're still getting revelations. This is going to come like a geometric effect, you know, because one person talks to six and six talks to 20, and, you know, it's like that. And so it's just being passed on and on and on. And now we're finding out the people with the vaccinations are super spreaders. That's right. It's the very opposite. It was designed that way by these criminals, okay? So our dreams for many years have shown specific factious people dying of the plague who have not yet died. But we just recently got a revelation of three of the leaders dying of our local faction, right? So on July the 6th, 2020, William Steenland had this dream. In this dream, the Lord allowed me, he said, to follow the Satanists into a very rich, high-rise private apartment condo in New York. I knew that they had infiltrated the CDC and the WHO, the World Health Organization, and they have. The leftist Satanists have taken them over. And most of their money comes from people like Bill Gates, you know. And we're executing a plan for their satanic New World Order. The dream changed, and I was still in the same condo at a small medical facility where people were dropping like flies from some unknown pathogen or contagion. There were three women and two men who were so sick they were unable to function. I tried to grab one woman close to me while she was falling, and in the dream I knew the elite were experimenting with the next plandemic. And I said, ma'am, what's wrong? Get up. And again, but she was dead. And I went over to the nurse, who was in a back room. I could tell she knew something and was divided about it. She was very sad and on her knees. I knew it was partially because she was totally helpless to assist or medicate the sick that were there. I picked her up off the ground and somewhat screamed at her, "What's happening to these people?" And she told me, "Don't ask me that question," as she cried in fear and sadness. I yelled again for her to tell me everything you know, what's happening to these people. She again told me not to ask that question. She knew they were victims of a trial run for the next pandemic. In the dream, I just knew it. That is the info that kept coming to me in the dream. Next pandemic and trial run experiment. Okay, then Bill said, I had another short dream. I was talking to my father and someone else. I kept saying how Trump would use a law put into place by Abraham Lincoln for martial law. The law is used to catch terrorists and suspend a speedy trial for the purpose make a speedy trial for the purpose of interrogation into the network of saboteurs. And he has in parentheses here, Democrats. Yes, it's overwhelmingly Democrats, but not complete. I kept saying how he was going to enact this law. It was a very short and brief dream. Military tribunals hold a significant place in American history, and they've always spawned public debate. During the American Civil War, Abraham Lincoln declared martial law and authorized such forums to try terrorists because military tribunals had the capacity to act quickly, to gather intelligence through the interrogation, and to prevent confidential, life-threatening information from becoming public. All right. Yeah, because as soon as the left finds out somebody is being cross-examined, they want to kill them, and they do quite a good job of killing them. Okay. Well, and my thought was, as we have seen, that the David Manchild body of reformers is coming to conquer the Jebusites, just like David did, right? The old man of the land, right? Jebus then became Jerusalem, whom John in Revelation was told is the bride. So, in effect, what we see is David sanctifying the bride as a first fruits of God's people. And David also being a member of this body of the bride, because he lived and ruled in Jerusalem, which is the city of David, according to the scriptures. And from here, he conquered the factious enemies. So we see history is repeating, as we've said so often. History is repeating. You may get tired of hearing it, but it is a wonderful revelation to go up, be able to go back and read history and find out these are the things coming in our day, right? So, okay, this next one is spearheading the man-child ministry, and I wrote this somewhere around 2005, I believe. We know that God is building this ministry to spread his truth to a multitude of babies about to come looking for answers when this nation and others are chastened. I share this revelation for your edification and preparation, and not to give any credit to myself. Jesus told us that whenever we have done all that we know to do, to consider ourselves as unprofitable servants. And this is because we do not earn God's grace. It is freely given through the faith that he gives. And no man should feel worthy of the great things that God is about to do through them. And as soon as they start taking any credit for it, of course, they lose the power. Amen? You know, when Moses smote the rock twice, he didn't enter the promised land. It's a symbol of being willfully disobedient, crucifying to yourself the Son of God afresh and putting him to an open shame. It was a symbol of that, you see. So, furthermore, many are called to and promised the man-child ministry, but few will be chosen. And that's because promises are not always believed or walked by faith in or lived up to because of God's grace in the person being an overcomer. God chooses overcomers to be his heads. Men don't do that. All you got to do is pass a test, and you can be the head of some church or something. But it doesn't work that way in God's kingdom. To him that overcometh will I give authority. That's what he said. I am praying to be counted worthy. Many times when brethren have had visions of me, it is because God is using my name to identify the corporate body of the Son of David, that Jesus will be manifested into shepherd his flock. And he said he would come to do these things in the last days, like in Ezekiel 34, 11 through 31, or Jeremiah 30, 6 through 9, and 21 through 24. Well, back in those days, a prophet named Philip Zermano shared this vision with us. He said, I have prayed for 3 days now for the Holy Father's will in this matter of sharing the vision I received during a meeting with David as the speaker. It was in Phoenix, which is a type of resurrection life, right? and I am permitted to share the following. As I prayed with David at the start of the meeting, I saw the room change into a stadium filled with people. Now, this I'd never met this person before when he got up to speak. I never met him before. I never knew him. You know, this was the first thing that I was told, you know. So as I prayed with David at the start of the meeting, I saw the room change into a stadium filled with people. And David was at the podium shouting through a microphone that was in the shape of a shofar. Well, I'll give you some interpretation of this a little bit later here, but let's finish it. He wore a silver yarmulke that glowed as he spoke, and from above it came a white golden light pouring down from the sky as a beam of glory, growing brighter with each outpouring. From David's clothing came the same glory lights pouring through the tzitzit on his garment, flowing like fingers through the people. They touched the forehead and were grabbed by the right hand of the people who became pregnant from the light hitting their forehead, right? And began shouting as they were covered in the glory. And this is the vision I had at the meeting. The Holy Father says that David would know its meaning, and if not, now, very soon. And months after that meeting, we received this from Philip. Holy Yahweh is forming this ministry into his image to spearhead the man-child ministry, birthing, and delivery to the world. Amen. He has given this to me in a mighty vision that ran continued for 3 nights, along with some other things that I can't say just yet. My interpretation, I had already received a previous prophecy that I would be teaching in stadiums, and I thought that this might be spiritual because of the rows of people, meaning the word is passed on from one person to another person as each tier speaks to the greater and greater circles, which, as you know, going upward, the circles become greater and greater. You know, so people pass it on to a few people, and they pass it on to a few people, and you know, it's like a stadium effect. It's like a geometric progression, like a stadium is built. So I've been contacted by many who have told us that they are using our broadcasts or MP3 audios for their home Bible study groups. Also, multitudes are copying our materials and passing them on. A shofar, it was like I was speaking through a shofar. The shofar turns inaudible breath, which is the same Hebrew word for spirit, into the audible voice of the Spirit or the Word, which warns God's people and destroys the enemy, as in Gideon's battle. You remember the shofar then. They blew the shofar. The enemy just killed each other off, right? So this is a prophetic word. It speaks about a prophetic word that's coming from God. It's the Spirit being manifested in words, right? We're all called to this ministry of being a vessel through whom the pure word of the Spirit will flow, are we not? Amen. The people being touched on the forehead by the light from heaven are those who humbly receive the word and so receive the renewed mind of Christ. These are grabbing the light with the right hand, which represents those who act on the word and so have the renewed works of Christ. Remember, the mark of the beast is on the forehead and the hand, right? And there's a mark of Christ that is just the opposite. It's on the forehead and the hand, but it's the works of Christ and the thoughts of Christ, the mind of Christ, right? So that's why these are mentioned. So these become pregnant with the seed of Christ through the word. And we know that the parable of the sower went forth to sow the seed went into men's hearts, and it recreated in them 30, 60, or 100-fold, or else they just gave up the word and they lost, right? But one out of four brought forth fruit, meaning they were pregnant with Christ, right? So, he that doeth the will of my Father is my mother. Then that means these people who will bring forth the fruit of Christ, it's because they're doing the will of the Father, the works, right? The hand. And when this seed bears fruit in the womb of the heart and mind, that is eventually birthed to the world, they will be seen as the image of Christ. In Jesus' day, Jewish men normally wore a simple tunic at work or at home, but when assembling in public gatherings, they would cover their tunic with a large rectangular cloth called the tallit, which is a prayer shawl that draped over the shoulders almost to the ground. The Torah commanded them to wear the tzitzit, which were fringes or tassels at the four borders. Hebrew word there for borders is corners or wings, right, of this tallit. This was a reminder to keep the commandments, as Deuteronomy 22:12 says, "Thou shalt make thee fringes," that's the tzitzit, "upon the four borders," meaning corners or wings in the Hebrew, it's kanaf, "of the vesture," thy vesture, which is the tallit, "wherewith thou coverest thyself." The tzitzit tassels are tied into 613 knots to constantly remind the Jews of the 613 laws of Moses. 365 of these are thou shalt not type laws, and 248 are thou shall type laws. Okay, the four tzitzits also represented the name, which in Hebrew means nature, character, and authority of God. YHWH, manifested in the life of one who keeps the word. The white golden light pouring down from the sky will flow through these people first, the man child, and then those that receive of that light. So the man child is just a first fruits to receive this gift of grace. And he is to pass it on, as it was in this meeting, to others, right, who also would receive that gift and who would grab the light and become pregnant and so on, you see. So Numbers 15 and 37 says this, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and bid them that they make them fringes," tzitzit, "in the borders," Hebrew kanaf, corners or wings, right, "of their garments throughout their generations, and that they put upon the fringe of each border a cord of blue. And it shall be unto you for a fringe," or a tzitzit, "that you may look upon it and remember all the commandments of the Lord and do them." and that you follow not after your own heart and your own eyes, after which you used to play the harlot. That you may remember and do all my commandments, and be holy unto your God. I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt to be your God. I am the Lord your God. Well, okay. Like Jesus and the man-child of our day will fulfill Malachi's prophecy concerning the Zitzit as the two witnesses are being manifested to the world. Malachi 4 and 1 on down. For behold, the day cometh, it burneth as a furnace, and all the proud and all that work wickedness shall be stubble. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, says the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in its wings. That's the Zitzit, right? And you shall go forth and gamble as the calves of the stall. And you shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet in that day that I make, says the Lord of hosts. Remember ye the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded unto him in Horeb for all Israel, even statutes and ordinances. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the great and terrible day of the Lord come. And he shall turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. So, a little interpretation here. The Jews believed that the Son of Righteousness here would be the Messiah, which it's true, he was. He had that authority, that power coursing through his garment and out the zitzit, so on and so forth. And he would have the power, they said, to heal whoever touched the zitzit fringes on his garment. Wow, didn't they recognize Jesus? Because that's exactly what happened. They did not know that this would be repeated in the end time through Christ in the man-child company. The light from heaven poured through the zitzit of Jesus' talit to heal the sick, as it will spiritually through the end time man-child. The woman who had suffered from an issue of blood for 12 years came up behind him and touched the border or wings of his garment where the zitzit was, and she was healed. Well, you know, they should have took notice of that. It was already in their notes, you know. She expressed her faith in Jesus as the Son of Righteousness with healing in his wings. The zitzit, right? The zitzit represents the word or Jesus is manifested in the man-child. It represents the word or Jesus manifested in the man-child in righteousness and in obedience, meaning it was the word that came through Jesus that did this, and it's the word that comes through Jesus in the man-child that's going to do this, right? Again, we know that Jesus is the only one who gets credit, right? It's him. He can use a donkey if he wants to. So it represents the name or nature, character, and authority manifested in the one who wore it. So it represents that name, you know. And we know that we take on his name at baptism, right? Amen. So, Matthew 9 and 20, and I'll read on down. It says, and behold, a woman who had an issue of blood 12 years came behind him and touched the border, that's the wings, of his garment. For she said within herself, if I do but touch his garment, I shall be made whole. But Jesus, turning and seeing her, said, Daughter, be of good cheer, thy faith hath made thee whole. And the woman was made whole from that hour. Oh, praise the Lord. So we see there a fulfillment of what they thought was coming. But they missed it again, because they had ulterior motives. And Mark 6 and 54 says, And when they were come out of the boat, straightway the people knew him, and ran about the whole region, and began to carry about on their beds those that were sick, where they heard he was. And wheresoever he entered into villages, or into cities, or into the country, they laid the sick in the marketplaces, and besought him that they might touch, if it were but the border, there's the wings again, of his garment. And as many as touched him were made whole. How come they didn't know this was the Messiah? Mark 5 and 25. And let's see, 26. Oh, I'll read on down. And a woman who had an issue of blood 12 years and had suffered many things of many physicians and had spent all that she had and was nothing better, but rather grew worse. Well, that's the woman here that represents the church who has tried through self-works to save herself from the outflowing of the blood, representing the old nature, right? The life of the flesh is in the blood. See, the sin nature has been passed down through Adam to us, from Adam to us. So that blood represents that old carnal nature. Nevertheless, the church will be in uncleanness until the time of the number of the governmental perfection symbolized by the number 12. The corruption will begin to turn around when God raises up the new leadership that he promised in these days, and that's the man-child ministry. I will restore thy judges as at the first, and thy counselors as at the beginning. And afterwards thou shalt be called the city of righteousness. Talking about Jerusalem, because Jerusalem was the head of the rest of the body of Israel, right? And it's also the bride. Who is under who? David, the man-child of his day. So back to our text in Mark chapter 5, verse 27. Having heard the things concerning Jesus, came in the crowd behind and touched his garment. For she said, If I touch but his garment, I shall be made whole. So here we have it, touching the zit-zit. It is not to be separated from our righteousness or the name through faith. You understand? When you touch something, you're not separated from it. And that's kind of like Jesus said, the Father said, take your shoes off, you're standing on holy ground. Well, he wanted him not to be separated from holiness. That's why he told him, take your shoes off. Okay, and it's the same situation here. They're not being separated from righteousness or the name which is given through faith. And verse 29, and straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her plague. The Lord was giving them a sign that this was the Messiah. And when the Lord comes in by word and by spirit in the man-child, it's going to be the same situation. It's going to be him getting the credit for doing this, because he's just using a body, just like he used before of the Son of David. So faith is imputed, and righteousness will bring us an end to the old life of the old man, right? Verse 30, straightway Jesus, perceiving in himself that the power proceeding from him had gone forth, turned him about in the crowd and said, "Who touched my garments?" In other words, to touch the tzitzit is to partake of the power of the healing light that flows from the throne. And verse 31, and his disciples said unto him, "Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me?" And but it was those who touched that tzitzit, right? It's not the people thronging him. Again, God is pointing our attention to them touching the tzitzit, right? And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had been done to her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, "Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague." Amen. So, in short, the white golden light pouring down from the sky as a beam of glory, unquote, will flow through obedient servants in whom Christ is manifested through the latter rain and belief in the truth. It will flow first through the man-child and then through the witnesses to the church at large. Amen. Well, everything is written for a purpose, you know, and everything in history is a prophecy of the end time. So here's a revelation. Man-child's head brings the word to the world. And this was given to Lisa Miller back on 5/15/2007. I dreamed that I and a lot of other people were on top of this mountain. And I believe the mountain here is represents the kingdom of God worldwide. I could see that some of us were looking at a small but active version of the mountain. So looking at this smaller version, you could see the whole shape of the mountain. Well, Lisa, along with others, were seeing a local microcosm, meaning in Greek, a small world. And this is a small local representation or scale version of the kingdom of God. And the portion of the body of Christ that she was familiar with as a part of the worldwide body, Lisa was a part of UBM at that time, and which will have a part in this move. Okay, there was an image in the mountain. The whole of the mountain had the shape of a woman who was pregnant. You could see that she was birthing her child. The mountain would shake, and we could feel it. And on the smaller version, we could see rocks giving way to form the new development of the child being born. It was very detailed. So she saw the microcosm as the woman church in her fellowship experience began to bring forth the first fruits man-child at the same time as it happened worldwide. You see? Okay, so the head and the shoulders were out, but the water had only begun to break. The head or spearhead of the man-child ministry will be born first in the microcosm seen by Lisa, as well as other microcosms. Then, back to her revelation, she said, "Suddenly, there was a very hard shaking, and we could see, on the little version, water begin to flow out." an earthquake, maybe. Well, they're having earthquakes over there at the Three Gorges Dam regularly. Could be a bigger one is going to come and really bust it wide open. I've heard talk about using the rod of God to do that. I don't know what's going to do. We'll find out one day, Lord willing. So it caused the this very hard shaking, caused the water to begin to flow out. I believe in the beginning of the coming time of judgment, the head will bring forth the water of the word, just as the birthing does. And the detail of the child became more distinct as we could hear the water rushing all around us, till it carried us away from the spot we were standing. But each of us could see one another, and somehow we could also see that the whole world was flooding with this water. Well, that's because the man-child is a worldwide ministry, birthed all over the world to bring this first fruits to God's people. And the water is the only thing that can bear fruit. The water of the word, the washing of the water with the word, causes us to bear fruit and to clean up our lives, right? So with this breaking forth of the head of the first fruits in the microcosm, a great flood of the word will go forth over the whole earth. This word is being prepared by books and radio and TV and internet, etc. And this move of the Spirit will also carry disciples with the message all over the world, just as it was in Jesus' day when he was the man-child. So we see the things that have been are the things that shall be. Amen. So she went on to say, we were under the water, but we could breathe. Well, let me say that abiding in the word is natural for those who live by the Spirit, which is, in Hebrew, breath. So we saw others, she said, caught in this water who could not breathe and were dying. Well, let me say the same word, the word which God spoke to Moses and told him, I set before you this day a blessing and a cursing. And it worked out to be a blessing if you obeyed it and a cursing if you didn't obey it. And that's the word of God. The word brings death to the carnal man and to his spirit or breath, right? The word brings life to the spirit man. But the water was so abundant that you could not tell which way was up unless you were near an object on the ground that could identify the direction. So that's a lot of water. That's like a big dam breaking, right? So, beholding the reward of the wicked and the corruption of the earth lets us know what is under our feet. And what is the way to heaven? The earthly will swallow the flood going forth from the dragon's mouth. Revelation chapter 12, right? And the heavenly will swallow up the flood that goes forth from the man-child's mouth. Revelation chapter 12 also. So some of us, she said, found ourselves inside of a large building under the water. It seemed to be a large farm building where tools and farm equipment and seed were kept. Well, 1 Corinthians 3 and 9 says, we are God's fellow workers, ye are God's husbandry, which is a Greek word that means tilled land, God's building, okay, so we can see two parallels being used there, you know, as speaking of the building of God, the people of God, the husbandry of God. Verse 10, according to the grace of God, which was given unto me as a wise master builder, I laid a foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let each man take heed how he buildeth thereon. For other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. So Jesus in the man child is about to lay again the foundation of God's building and once again plant the seed of the word all over the world. Except this time it's going to be the original seed, the only one that can bring forth Christ, not the latter day seed of the myths of Christianity, which have no power to manifest Christ. Remember, the soul went forth to sow the seed, and the seed was the word of God, not man's theories about the word of God. And she went on to say, we knew that there were people who were now above the water and were angry at us and wanted to kill us. Yeah, that's the norm. Those to whom the water is death will hate the righteous even more because of the increase of truth and fruit in them. And abiding in the water of the word is a place of protection to them. Amen. Okay, here's a dream given to Claire, Pinar 8121. And we called it Dam Verse. Father cleans up his church. Amen. I dreamed Rion and I went to a restaurant for a lunch. Rion meaning little king and Claire meaning brilliance represented the pre-anointed man-child and bride. The restaurant represents feeding on the word. So, she said, I went to a restaurant for a lunch following a challenging period of trials. In times past, going through trials of this kind would normally elicit a self-pity or escapist response in our old natural selves. We would indulge the flesh with negative emotions. However, this time in the dream, we rejoiced in the challenges and trials, and we were now sober-minded. So my thought here is that feeding on the word of God makes us sober-minded and gives us the self-discipline to overcome the flesh with its impulsive emotional responses to the trials that God has ordained for us to go through. These trials are the tests that we've been speaking of concerning the persecution by the factious and the apostates. These trials are what we're going through right now, but they are coming to an end at the time when the man-child ministry is born and anointed and the bride is chosen. As you remember, when Jesus went out to pick the bride, John the Baptist called those people, those first fruits people, the bride. He went out to pick them and they followed him. So the man-child ministry is born and then the bride is chosen. Isaiah 66, 5 through 7 says, hear the word of the Lord, ye that tremble at his word. Your brethren that hate you, that cast you out for my name's sake, have said, let the Lord be glorified, that we may see your joy. But it is they that shall be put to shame. A voice of tumult from the city, a voice from the temple, a voice of the Lord that rendereth recompense to his enemies. So the Lord is coming back in the man-child, and one of those things that he is going to do is bring recompense to the enemies of God's people. Amen. And we see the Lord stained garment coming from Bozra, which was the sheepfold of the Edomites. And we see in Ezekiel 34, the David ministry, judging the Edomites. And when David became king, he went out and judged the Edomites. The Edomites, of course, were Esau's seed, who were factious against their brethren. So this is a judgment against those who have persecuted God's people. Then verse 7 says, before she travailed, she brought forth her, before her pain came, she was delivered of a man-child. Yes. Another text, Isaiah 60, 14 through 18. And the sons of them that afflicted thee shall come bending unto thee, and all they that despise thee shall bow themselves down at the soles of thy feet, and they shall call thee the city of the Lord, the Zion of the Holy One of Israel. Whereas thou hast been forsaken and hated, so that no man pass through thee, I will make thee an eternal excellency, a joy of many generations. Thou shalt also suck the milk of the nations, and shalt suck the breast of kings. And thou shalt know that I, the Lord, am thy Savior and thy Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob. For brass I will bring gold, and for iron I will bring silver, and for wood, brass, and for stones, iron. I will also make thy officers peace, and thine exactors righteousness. That's a pretty good value trade there. Step up. A great blessing is coming to the bride on the choosing of the bride. A great blessing, a provision for the bride and for the people through the bride. 18. Violence shall no more be heard in thy land. Desolation nor destruction within thy borders, but thou shalt call thy walls salvation and thy gates praise. So we see the Lord coming in the man-child and putting an end to the Edomites' plague on the people of God. So, going on, Claire said this. She said, we went to a gorgeous, massive restaurant. It had huge windows and a long wooden bar that stretched the whole length of the place. And that's where we had to place our meal order. And in parenthesis, she puts, the water of the word is our food. Amen. We walked up to the bar area, and the bartender, I believe she says, or what we think represents Jesus, gave us a small menu. And he has. He's given us a small menu that we're to partake of to feed our body and to grow up into his image. So, and the narrow path that we are to walk in is found in the word, right? So all that was served was lean seafood and vegetables. Well, this is recognized by most to be a healthy diet, which, spiritually speaking, represents the word, right? We selected our dishes and decided to sit outside at one of the tables. The bar represents partaking of the wine or blood of Christ, which replaces our old nature with his new life and nature. And he took a cup and gave thanks and gave to them, saying, drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many unto remission of sins. But I say unto you, I shall not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until the day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. Oh, praise the Lord. So Claire said, when I looked around, it seemed that a corporate awards ceremony for a construction company was being held at this restaurant. This construction awards meeting at the restaurant had filled the indoor area and many people sitting at tables were arguing with each other about who better deserved the rewards. Kind of reminds you of the disciples, right? Who is the greatest among us? Uh-huh. So this had invaded the church, which is a restaurant, and a particular construction company, which probably represents what churches are supposed to do. They're construction companies in that they are to build the kingdom of God, right? So, but this is negative. This is an invasion, right? Even in Jesus, who was his disciples were following him, there was an invasion in their thoughts about who was the greatest, you know, who deserved the great rewards, right? So many people were sitting at these tables and were arguing about this, right? And this construction company and reward ceremony represents the corporate ladder of apostate church systems with all their seeming perks and benefits of following their idols and their false Jesus. You know, in Ezekiel 16, 23 through 27, it says, "And it has come to pass, after all thy wickedness, woe, woe unto thee, saith the Lord, that thou hast built unto thee a vaulted place, and hast made thee a lofty place in every street." You kind of like the churches, right? And they even put the steeple up there to make it even more vaulted, right? We're taller than you, right? "Thou hast built thy lofty place at the head of every way, and hast made thy beauty an abomination, and hast opened thy feet to every one that passed by, and multiplied thy whoredom. And thou hast also committed fornication with the Egyptians, thy neighbors, great of flesh, and hast multiplied thy whoredom to provoke me to anger. Behold, therefore, I have stretched out my hand over thee and have diminished thine ordinary food and delivered thee unto the will of them that hate thee." Yes, this pride, this arrogance, this who is the greatest among us, you know. And Jesus said, of course, that would be the servant of all. Right? But the leaders in the churches, they don't feel like servants nor act like servants. They feel like they're lords over God's heritage, right? 2 Corinthians 10 and 12 says, "For we are not bold to number or compare ourselves with certain of them that commend themselves, but they themselves, measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves with themselves, are without understanding." Yeah. So it appears that the competitiveness and the glorifying of man crept into the church like it was beginning to happen among the disciples, right? Jesus told them not to be like the heathen, right? The Gentiles, the heathen, right? And they were all dressed in snazzy corporate attire. Well, you know what the normal suit is that they wear, you know. I believe it's just talking about denominationalism. They all had crisp, white, fitted shirts on, and many of the men were wearing black pants suits, while the women were wearing black skirts, black business dresses. They appear on the outside to be white and clean and pure, but their walk is in darkness. Black all over the place, right? Proverbs 2, 12 and 13 says, "To deliver thee from the way of evil, from the men that speak perverse things, who forsake the paths of uprightness, to walk in the ways of darkness." And 1 John 1 and 6, "If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in the darkness, we lie and do not the truth." So Jesus was an example. He was making his disciples into examples. He corrected them for such things. so that they could pass it on to others. Amen? So the actual award ceremony was happening outside, and the prize winners were being picked. I knew I could not be a prize winner, as I was not even employed by this company. Well, thank God. That's a good thing. The bride is non-denominational in the strictest sense of the word. In this moment in the dream, I felt like the enemy was trying to trick me into believing that I have not passed the tests to be in the bride because I wouldn't be receiving a reward from these people. But I rebuked that thought and dreamed on. Amen. Well, the enemy, through apostate Christians or organizations, will ostracize or persecute us. They try to get us to believe that if we're not part of their religious systems and groups, that we're somehow anathema or unprofitable to the kingdom because we don't desire to be part of their system of self-works and climbing their religious corporate ladders of who's who in the Christian circles, right? Well, that's baloney. It's all a copy of the world, isn't it? Then there was an outdoor amphitheater that was on the left side of the building. The rebellious goats that Jesus put on the left represent the apostate church that are on the left. And as we sat down, the dining tables turned into school desks, and the amphitheater where the prize ceremony was being held changed into a teaching platform. And after this, the tables and chairs changed to desks, and there was an examination coming. Well, you remember how the disciples were talking about who's the greatest, you know, and Jesus corrected them. There was an education going on there. They were realizing, oh, this kind of thinking is not of God. And, of course, this examination coming, we've been talking about this. This is the final exam to see who will pass the tests of coming out from among them to be in the bride. Most of the women who were in the indoor part of the restaurant refused to sit down and stood on the grass watching proceedings. These were the women that were all dressed up in their uniforms. They were standing on the grass, which represents standing in the flesh. Peter said, all flesh is as grass. And that means it's transitory. It's passing away, right? So this is the spirit of Jezebel that rules over the Babylonish church. She said, I asked the Lord about the amphitheater, and he gave me Daniel 5:24. By faith at random, in context, Daniel 5:24-28, which, by the way, we received this morning in our prayer meeting. Yes, straight from the Lord. Then was the part of the hand sent from before him, and this writing was inscribed. And this is the writing that was inscribed. Mene, mene, tekel, upharsin. This is the interpretation of the thing. Mene, God hath numbered thy kingdom and brought it to an end. Tekel, thou art weighed in the balances and art found wanting. Perez, thy kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and the Persians. Oh, looks like trouble for the apostate church. The Babylonish, by the way, apostate church. Joe Britz was in the desk behind Rion and me. We three used knives and forks as pens to make notes. In other words, whatever you use to feed your spiritual man with, he's taking all the notes. We were smiling at each other, eating the word will cause us to pass the examination or the test, right? And then I had a vision of a dam bursting. Oh, here we go again. a dam bursting its walls on all sides. And I heard a voice say, "The force inside is greater than the boundary that holds the water." That's right. That's why it's going to break, right? So the bride passed her test as the man child was being born, breaking the water. And this is the same revelation as breaking the dam that I shared in the previous broadcast titled Three Gorges Dam, Birth of the Man Child 1. Okay. And the force of the water of truth flowing from the man child will break down the walls that the false shepherds have built to keep the sheep away from the true gospel and the real Jesus. Amen? Yes. Oh, it's getting so clear here. I saw the dam wall break in my vision, and then I felt the earth slow down a bit before speeding back up. And the voice said, "For a second." That was very interesting. So the dam broke and the earth slowed down for a second. And this is like the Three Gorges Dam bursting at the time of the anointing of the man-child, right? So a sign was given on April the 11th, which was a record for large earthquakes around the world. We knew it was a sign, right? And also the largest strike slip earthquake on record was an 8.6 happened, and it moved the earth 70 plus feet. It affected its rotation speed by a fraction of a second. I don't know how big the fraction was. I don't remember that, but this is a fact. And we have been shown that these large earthquakes are coming at the time of the coming of the man-child ministry. Huh. Boy, the puzzle just keeps coming together, doesn't it? Then the scene changed, and I was walking back to my home, and I passed a construction site of the same company. Well, we should pass up the construction site of the apostate company and go home to the original Christianity, shouldn't we? So that's where he was headed, to home. He passed it up, right? He was headed home, though. That's our true home. The CEO and owner were the only two there. They were older men. Rion was already at our home further along the path. And he was somehow passing these two men wooden beams with which to build. Okay. So he went home, and then he got the CEO and the owner. But Rion was giving them the wood to build the house with, right? So we give the substance by faith, and God puts it together, because faith is the substance of the thing hoped for while the evidence is not seen. So we give God the substance by our faith, and then God uses that faith to give us the thing hoped for. David gathered the substance for the son of David to build the temple, right? And today David is gathering the substance. He's gathering together the materials that make the temple. What are the things that make the temple? The Word of God in all of its forms. The Word of man won't do that. This has to be a virgin birth. I don't know how, but it defied the laws of space and time as he was at our house. Rion, as the man-child, was at our house passing on the substance to build the temple. Yes, and the man-child teaches the bride how to build through faith, right? The man-child and the bride are raising up the temple. They're laying the foundation of the temple. They're raising it up. They are the first builders, first fruits builders. And they're doing it by faith. They're going to be doing it by faith. So she said, I'm not sure who the two men were, as I didn't recognize them to be men from my natural world. I think one represented our Father, and the other represented the original Christ. Yeah, that's exactly right. He was the one who spoke to me. Indeed, they are really the only builders of anything lasting. Yeah, that's a good word there. So this construction company represents the original church that was founded by the Father upon the rock of Jesus Christ. The CEO is Jesus, and the owner is the Father. Amen. The two men had no protective gear on, and they knew exactly what they were doing. Well, the real, true, original Christ is the victor. He doesn't need any armor anymore, right? She went on to say, I asked the slightly older one, would you like me to bring you your meal now or later? I don't mind either way. He spoke to me with such love, and I turned and looked behind me to see if he was really talking to me. And when I realized that he was, I blushed, because he replied, my darling, please be patient. I'm finishing this work first, but we will feast together when it is done. Yes, right. The bride must be patient until the Father's work is done, and then the marriage feast will begin. Didn't he say that? We will feast together. The marriage feast will begin. I said something like, oh, I can leave it at your house for you. It's no trouble. To which he said, we will eat together. But it'll get dark first before I'm ready to eat. You know what? It's going to get dark. It's going to get darker than it is now. And it's before the marriage feast, which is the beginning of the tribulation. It's between here and the tribulation, it's going to get dark. There are a lot of people going to die. Yeah. Up until this point in the dream, I was unsure what the time was. But after hearing him, I assumed it was after lunchtime. And in the dream, I remember thinking it must be about 4:30 p.m. Well, it will get very dark before the 7-day/year marriage feast begins, which is the tribulation period. Amen. And then I woke up, and I received this verse by faith at random. Luke 12. 7-9. And my finger was on the phrase, the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Well, in context, but the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, you're of more value than many sparrows. And I say unto you, everyone who shall confess me before men, him shall the Son of Man also confess before the angels of God. But he that denieth me in the presence of men shall be denied in the presence of the angels of God. So what do we get from this hairs of your head? Well, we can see one thing, that God is in absolute control, and his care is such that not a hair of your head can fall to the ground without him knowing it. Meaning that this is his crop, and he is very careful to give it all the grace it needs to bear fruit. He can give it good soil, good sunshine, plenty of rain, of the water of the word. He knows how to bring this crop forth, and he is a good husbandman. And he is his husbandry, you know, which is his tilled ground, will bring forth the fruit of Christ. Amen? Wow. How awesome that God thinks so much of us, that he is so careful and he knows everything about us, and so on. So, this thing about the Three Gorges Dam bursting. God is using men to do this. There is weather warfare going on throughout Asia, throughout Europe, here too. Several things are happening because of this. A lot of dams have been breached or broken. And as a power source, they really don't want them anymore. And if they break them all, people will have no choice but to go to their new electric system. And they have said that they're going to bring down these power plant dams. And so we can see that that's actually happening. Number two, they are flooding the dumbs, the deep underground military structures that house a lot of deep state criminals. They're flooding them. They're flooding the tunnels that they use to do their crimes. They're flooding them. They're saying that the deep state is using HARP to do all of this, weather manipulation and weather warfare. I shared with you once before an article I read whereby that the Russians were caught cooperating with the United States in seeding the atmosphere that goes into China in order to make it rain a lot. And so this is, I believe, weather warfare, whether it's HARP or maybe it's a part of it, maybe it's not, I don't know. This may be disinformation they're putting out there. I don't know that either. I think Trump is in control of the military, and I think the military is probably in control of HARP. But I don't know that. So there's a lot I don't know. But it's very interesting that things are being accomplished by this, even though it seems to be a terrible thing. And I've also heard that they're moving a lot of these homeless people into the ghost cities, which they have built. And everybody wondered why China made these cities, perfectly good cities, better than most everything that the Chinese public has. And now they're finding a use for them. Was it all planned? I don't know. They thought something was going to cause people to be houseless, I think. So it's interesting how much is coming to pass here. There's great shakings going on. And the dam, the last I saw of it, it was severely damaged. And now they have this video that plays on the dam constantly. It's supposed to be a real-time video, but people have discovered it's a loop. So it's just showing you the same thing over and over so that you won't know what's really happening. And they won't let any reporters in there to report on the dam. They won't let them in there. What are they hiding? And why stop the satellite pictures of the dam? Why stop that? They're hiding something. Are they hiding that their prized dam is cracking up more and more? One time, maybe a month or two ago, they said it filled up with mud from the water coming down above. Filled up with mud. Well, that doesn't seem that they can run all their businesses down there, because the dam is actually a huge building also with a whole lot of crime going on underneath there, child trafficking, adrenochrome, money laundering, whatever. So, anyway, Father, we ask you, Lord, to bring your men, child. We say, come, Lord Jesus, we need you. We need you. The place is a mess. And Lord, we need your faith. We need your holiness. We need your righteousness. We need your man child to go forth and teach and raise up the church. Because the judgment that is coming from the deep state is destroying a lot of apostate Christians who don't know that you are the healer. Instead, they would rather take a vaccine from depopulationists who created it, which is a dumb thing to do, and it's killing them, and it's multiplying, because each one of these vaccinated people has become super spreaders. Look up the term, you'll see what I'm talking about. And super spreaders, that's right, that meaning they're able to shed this spike protein that they put into the vaccines to ultimately destroy you. And the chips also that they grow inside of you. So it's obviously an experiment leading up to the mark of the beast, because these are communications chips that they're putting in there. So anyway, there's so much going on, so much craziness going on, so much evil going on. I believe it's all going to come to light, and people are going to realize, oh, these people were trying to kill us. Yes. Yeah. I think it was Michael that was saying to me the other day that Arkansas was making steps against the masks and so on and so forth. And suddenly, their numbers of COVID-19 shot through the roof. Well, it couldn't have happened that way, naturally speaking. So he was suggesting they started spraying it again in that state to prove that what they were planning on doing is doing away with these things, to prove that they were wrong. So these are killers that don't even have a lot of common sense. You know, they're very foolish. And everything shows up, just like our faction. Everything's been found out about them. And we've had our spies in the midst of them. Praise the Lord. And but, you know, it's just crazy. It's real crazy. And, you know, I'll say this about what we know is coming, and I believe it's going to bring a lot of death. Many people who, if they weren't faced with death, would not turn to the Lord. Some people are going to turn to the Lord by this happening. Other people, they are not going to ever do anything but pollute the kingdom of God. That's all they're going to do. So they might as well be taken out, because they're never going to repent. And God knows this. So don't mistake these things as all bad. God is using them. He is draining his swamp. And I mean in the government and in the church. He is draining the swamp. Multitudes of people who say they are Christians are running to take this to save them from the Babylonish beast. And it's the Babylonish beast who is killing them. And I would say just about every morning that we come together, that we get verses about the beast attacking the apostates and their leadership. How is this happening? It's happening with the pestilence. That's even mentioned in some of these cases. The pestilence. They're attacking the church. They're attacking its leadership with pestilence. Why is it that they're able to do that? Because these people do not believe the word of God. That's why they are apostates, fallen away. The Lord said, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have put upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. Now that doesn't come automatically. It comes to people who believe it. As Jesus said, as you have believed, so shall it be unto you. Right? So, if we believe that by the stripes of Jesus we were healed, how would we act? Well, we wouldn't be worried about a thing, would we? None of us here at Local have worn any masks or anything like that, or made any, you know, running around washing doorknobs. We ain't never done any of that stuff. It's not necessary. If you believe that God Almighty, through Jesus Christ, bore your curse, then you don't have to run to man who has a mind to kill you. They are depopulation. It's all over the internet, even in their own words. Bill Gates has said the best way to bring about population control is with vaccines. Well, how do you control populations? You have to take people out. People just need to do a little research before they run off trusting in the arm of the flesh. Cursed is the man that trusts in man and maketh the flesh his arm. Right? Cursed. Cursed, God says. When God says you're cursed, you're cursed. And he's saying this because these are people who are in the apostate church because they do not believe what the scripture says. Jesus went about doing good, healing all who was oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And he still does it today. He's not dead. We give to Jesus our faith in his word, where he healed everyone that came to him. He's not dead. He still heals the sick. In fact, he gives you divine health. Exodus 15 and 26 talks about divine health. I'll put none of these diseases upon you. That's divine health. And even after you start having symptoms, you can say, nope, I don't accept this because the Bible says thus and thus. Oh, boy. Well, Lord, we just ask that your people wake up and stop believing men. That's the seed of men, the seed being the word, as Jesus explained in his parables. Men are liars. Let God be true and every man a liar. Men are liars. We've got one truth passed on to us. It has a perfect numeric pattern in it, God's signature, and it's the Word of God. The best thing anybody could do, and they would consider this blasphemy because it wouldn't support their kingdom, the best thing anybody could do is go home and read your Bible and find out the truth and accept just what you read there. Find out the truth, because they've been lying to you. From the mother of the harlots all the way down through all of the daughter harlots, they have been lying to you. They lied to me. I found it out. And I started reading, and I was amazed. And I'm still amazed. We have to get all that garbage out. We have to put enough of the good word into our hard drives to drive out the hard stuff and the foolish stuff that's in there. We got to overcome this false, evil thinking. We have to cast down every imagination that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. We have to cast it out. This is what repentance means. It means change your mind. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We have to repent. How can we walk in the kingdom? How can we walk in the Spirit if our mind is carnal? We have to change our mind. You do need to read the Bible. You don't need to go listen to a preacher who quotes one or two verses and then it goes off in his own schooling, you know, that he's received, passing on to you what didn't help him or help his elders. If it didn't save him, if it didn't heal him, if it didn't deliver him, it won't do it to you either. So we have to repent. Change your mind, right? And we should be doing that constantly. We know it ought to be the number one thing that prepares us to be able to go out and talk to other people. Because if we don't pass on the Word, we can't recreate Christ in their heart. He is the Word made flesh. This flesh is just a passing away thing. I mean, flesh and blood shall not inherit the kingdom of God. This is not the body that you're going to receive. And it is passing away. If you do everything to serve the flesh and it passes away, what do you have? Oh my. That's why we have to repent. We have to change our mind. We have to walk in the Spirit. We can't do it without our software being reformed. Right. So, Father, thank you so much for what you're doing for us, Lord. We love you and we thank you, Lord. We're going to hate to see these horrendous things coming, but we know that they are. And, Lord, I know that some people only believe really just the good and the lovely and the change of the whole world is coming, but that's just wrong. We know what's coming. We read the book. So, Lord, I pray and I ask, Lord, that you put protection over your people. Remind those of them who have gone to the world and its ways what you have told to some of them. Some of them have heard the truth before, and they decided it was too hard to just believe that way. And the world says it's silly and stupid, and the worldly church says it's silly and stupid, and so they repeat the worldly church. And so, Lord, it's not. It's very wisdom from heaven. It is walking above the curse on this world when we renew our minds with the Word of God and begin to walk in accordance with that. Father, we ask you in Jesus' name, please bring your man child. Yes, bring him early. Yeah, bring him early, Lord. We need him now, Lord. We ask for your grace and your mercy. We need that new leadership to lead your people when a lot of these hirelings are fleeing because the sheep are not their own, and they're going to be fleeing. And many are going to be taken down, as the Lord has shown us in dreams and visions. They're going to be taken down. And that is to free up the sheep to be able to hear the reformers. The sheep are so much in idolatry that they worship men and buildings. And yet we have to be reformed. Thank you, Father, for what you're doing for us, Lord. Thank you for your love towards us and your patience towards us, Lord. Thank you for putting your faith in our hearts. Thank you for reminding us of the Word. Thank you for causing us to humble ourselves to someone who is sharing the Word, because it's not what our religion taught us. Humbling ourselves, Lord, help you. Help us, Father, to walk in your steps and be overcomers. You'll give authority to your overcomers. Authority over the curse, authority over the devil, authority over the flesh. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. All right, saints, thank you so much for joining me today, and we'll do this again sometime. God bless you and keep you. Meantime, amen.